Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. It's good to be in God's house. Amen. How many of us in this life we have some momentary light afflictions? How many of us sometimes that you can do everything right and still have some situations happen in life? How many have walked long enough to see that? How many of us we still have a frail body that we carry along too? But thanks be to God that we have the victory in Christ Jesus. I'm going to agree that we're living in some perilous times. But the truth is that Jesus is Lord. And we need to speak that victory upon. I read in Revelation that says in the last days the love of many will grow cold. We need to continue to stoke up that fire in our hearts. Come on. The truth is that we need to keep our relationship current with the Lord. That means there's work involved with that. How many understand that part? Sin is deceitful. We don't know we're deceived when we're deceived. But I know that when you keep your relationship current with the Lord, how many knows that your eyes are opened? The one thing the enemy's going to do is discourage you. I said the one thing the enemy's going to do is discourage you. Next thing he's going to try to do is distract you. The next thing he's going to try to do is get you to trust in your own emotions instead of the word of the Lord. I mean, sometimes you got to fight through that, say, no, this is what God says. Come on. A lot of people have shipwrecked their faith thinking it was the Lord, it was just them. Jesus will never draw himself away from himself. Oh, I'm preaching now. How many of us he'll draw you closer? If it takes a step away, I don't believe it's the Lord. Come on. God has never done anything wrong to any of us. He's always been good. He'll always be good. Sin is the problem and the enemy of our soul. Believe me, when it comes to the church as a whole, we all have to grab a hold of. It's one area the enemy is going to fight you at is you being faithful. It's the only institution in the world that the enemy hates totally is the church of Jesus Christ. So we have to look at that and say, you know what? I'm going to make sure I'm on the top of my game spiritually when it comes to the church, members in particular. Because he'll try to discourage. He'll try to get people off track. He'll try to make things seem like this. But the truth is the Lord says, hey, continue on that road. I know for a fact, if you'll stay faithful to the things of God, you'll reap what you sow. But a lot of people have sowed but got out of the place where they can even reap their own harvest. Come on. How many want to reap a harvest of righteousness? We've all sowed enough in the flesh and reaped enough there. Would you agree? I want to reap a harvest of righteousness. How many want to have it on every wave that comes in, there's a return? Say amen. How many knows that God's able to do that? That's faithfulness over time. Everything is seed, a time, and a harvest. Sometimes it's easy to plant it, but how about wait to receive it? But then it comes in sooner or later, it will come in. I believe personally the power of prayer over our families is incredible. Keep praying for your family. Don't wish it. Don't say somebody else will do it. No, we need to do it. We need to hold them up in prayer. I want people to know what you know about the Lord in your family. The truth is that it'll make the big difference. This morning I'm going to deal with what does holiness produce in our life? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, you are a chosen generation. Say a chosen generation. Notice what you are. You're no longer somebody that's just on the planet getting your seed source from some job, and that defines you. God defines you in a different way. He calls you a chosen generation. My wife and I had this conversation the other day. Who am I that I should know the wonderful mysteries of Christ? That I got saved. It is such a privilege to get saved. When you look at the billions of people on the planet and possibly the billions that have already went on before us, I got the gospel. I receive what he has. When I look at that, I'm like, I'm so indebted to Christ. If God doesn't do anything more, I'm so thankful I'm saved. I'm thankful that God's worked in me. Notice here, you're a chosen generation. Say a royal priesthood. A holy nation. When God works in us, it produces a holy nation. Notice it's a people group that are holy. The church should be known as a holy group of people, not just holy rollers. That's nice. But that you now belong to Christ. Is God holy or not? How many believe He's holy? Then if you're His kids, shouldn't you reflect what your Father is? You can, because you're born again. The seed of Christ is in you to produce something different, which is holy. So now God looks at us and says, I call you a holy nation. Can you see how the enemy hates the church? He's not holy. He'll never be holy. You'll be holy. In a world that could care less about Christ, He looks at the church saying, you're a holy nation. I love that. Notice that we all blend in with that. We're chosen, we're called out, but now we're in part something far bigger than all of us. We're now a holy nation, amen? And all those who went before us, we're part of that. We're no different than when it comes to Noah or Isaac or. We're all in the same kingdom. We're not complete without them, neither are they complete without us. No wonder God's saying, I'm going to enjoy one day when you're all gathered at my throne. Won't that be a scene? Every person that's ever been saved from every generation, and no one will have this superstar mentality. We'll all be lifting and worshiping our King. There's only one who's on the throne. Amen? We're the only one who will cast our crowns before Him. Amen? And here's a good thing. If there's a whole pile of crowns, you'll still find yours. Say amen. No one's going to steal yours. Hallelujah. How many knows it's good to cast those? What does holiness produce? Look at verse 5. 1 Peter 2:5. It says, you're a living stone built up to a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Say a holy priesthood. To do what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So no longer are you just yourself. You become a priest of your own home. That's men and women. You represent that area. Well, you become a holy priesthood to offer up what? Gifts and sacrifices to God. When we come together, believe me, we offer up those gifts and sacrifices. I appreciate our worship team. They're working right now. We don't have an official leader of that yet, but I'm praying that the Lord will raise up someone to take that on. Amen? But they're doing all they can to make our worship work. I thank God for that. Amen? And let's pray, Lord, I want to see somebody come in that has no other agenda but to worship the King. Amen? Loves people, loves our God, wants to be a worshiper. Will you pray that also? I'm going to pray that. I mean, the Lord knows who that is already. Lord, bring it to pass. Make it plain. Amen? When I look today, how many want to be a royal priesthood? Well, let me ask you, what do? They offer up gifts and sacrifices to our God. We all need to shoulder that responsibility. When my wife and I do marriage counseling, one of the things that we bring into that is if he's going to be a spiritual leader of his home, he becomes a priest of the home too. That doesn't mean her role is negated, but are you going to carry that spiritual mantle in your home? It matters. Ladies, if you take care of your own home, you're that spiritual leader of your home. You carry that mantle. Well, you know, we can all do that. But if we negate that, we're not fulfilling the role that holiness is supposed to produce in us. How many want to be what God wants to be? As a priest of your home, you think you should pray for your family? Yes. You should offer up those things. Well, you know what? Sometimes you got to offer up a gift of sacrifice for your family. Lord, touch them. Pray for them. Encourage them. Amen? It's not too late, even if you started late. Come on. Add to that area. I believe God can touch anyone at any time. Amen. The problem isn't with the Lord. It's with us. Sometimes we're so stubborn. It takes the Lord to break us down, to get to that place where we finally go, okay, God. How many here wish you were a little softer in those arenas? But some of you are like, the Lord can just speak a whisper and like, oh, Lord, thank you for giving me. That's awesome. How many are hard-headed like me? How many have to take a little bit to get through there? I mean, how many ever the Lord put his thumb on you and finally goes, oh, you finally go, I surrender. Amen? The truth is that I want to be easier with that. But the longer you serve him, the more the softening happens. That's why if somebody's still hard, just pray for him. Lord will soften. No one's outside of what God's power is. Amen? What does it produce? It produces a heavenly calling. How many of us a heavenly calling is good? If you're taking notes, in 2 Peter 1, verse 9, He has saved us and called us with a heavenly calling or a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and the grace which was given to us by Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. You've been called from heaven, a holy calling. I love that. It isn't just somebody saying something from America, someone from some other country. This calling came from heaven. It's a heavenly calling. Isn't that cool? Now, you may not have heard an audible voice like the Apostle Paul did, but how many knows you still heard it here? How many knows even that voice was much stronger than even an audible one? You know who you are. The God of the universe called you out, and He called you by name. I love that. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. He was putting over them an authority, a mantle, an area to be forgiven. He was interceding for them that they could come to know Him who is now on the cross. He said, Father, and I only not only pray for them, but all that You will give me, You were prayed for. I mean, that's a powerful intercession. Don't let afflictions or struggles that you go through keep you from praying. Amen. I've noticed sometimes that He'll try to silence your voice because something isn't quite right. Push through that for victory. Amen. I know in what I talk about here. Amen? I don't want to be too gross about it, but I've had my head thrown up in a toilet and still been able to pray. Amen. Amen. How many of God is able? Yes. Amen? Well, can God do that? Can God do that? Well, we have that heavenly calling on us. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't go, you know what, Father? I kind of went the whole road with this, and I'm a little tired of them all. Lord, just fry them all now. We'll just start all over again. Aren't you glad that He didn't say that? Yes or no? And what I went through is nothing what He went through. He's bleeding. He's hanging on there. He's whipped. He's torn up. Yet He still says, forgive them. He was our high priest. He fulfilled the role. Now, how many of us, the church, we need to fulfill our roles too. We all have our own little areas that we have to be what God's called us to be. None of us escape from these things. Men, listen to me. Be a spiritual leader. Ladies, be a spiritual leader. You cover that over your families. You can intercede accordingly. What does this holiness produce? How many say a holy people? How many of us, that's individually. In Ephesians 1 verse 4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God said, I want you to be like this. This is what I've destined you to be, holy people. Satan wanted you to be separate from God. God's destined you to be a holy people. Now let's back it up before sin. Let's look at Adam and Eve for a moment. Can you imagine walking with God in the fullness of what He had, minus sin? Minus an earth that's been cursed on it. No thorns, no thistles, nothing bad on any level. Every animal getting along just like it should. Mosquitoes are not biting you. Can you imagine Adam looking out wherever he went? It was total dominion. The oxygen level was perfect. It was pure. And then God would come every day and walk with Adam. How many think that was cool? In the fullness of His power. You think that was a pretty awesome thing? We're going to get back to that one day. Amen? Amen? One day that's all going to be returned. Jesus paid it so complete that He'll restore everything and better. Jesus died once and for all to bridge that gap. The problem right now is that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. So we still have that physical aspect we have to deal with. But even one day, that's going to change. But there's no reason why spiritually, in our hearts, and even in our minds, Lord, I can know You and walk in Your ways. Lord, let me renew this. Your word is truth. Is this good this morning? It's awful quiet. When I look at it, a holy people. Each one of us to walk that way. In 1 Peter 1 verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy for I am holy. That means our conduct is starting to match our calling. And it's not hard for any of us. You have the seed of Christ in you when you're born again. That means what you can become comes from that seed that's been inside you. Isn't that cool? Everything you ever want to produce, if you'll let it grow, it will produce out of your life. The tree will grow and then produce fruit that others can partake, and so can you. And if the Lord needs some, he could come along in your life and pluck some of that too. How many want to produce fruit? How many want to be more loving, more kind, more patient? All those become an outcropping of what started deep within you. Now, you can stunt the process at any time by staying outside the vine, by cutting off those nutrients. Any tree that's cut off does not grow, does it? Amen? How many of you can kill a cactus? Oh, I forgot to water that little thing up there in the shelf. Amen? You look at it, it's all corroded up. Amen? How many of us, there's a place where it can die, right? I shared with you, I had a revolt like one time over the summer. I wasn't going to water my grass. Some of you know the story. Somebody stole my brand new lawnmower. Bagger. Had it up in my shed, had a lock on it. I came home from church and I look and the shed doors are open. And I could see that the handle was busted. And I'm looking for my dog, and my dog is in my yard. Well, I had a double fence back then. Like where the alleyway is, they closed it off. I look at my dog's back there. I'm like, how do you get back there? And I look, oh, don't tell me somebody stole my brand new lawnmower. I open up the shed. And I look down. Sure enough, no note. No one said, hey, I borrowed that. I needed that lawnmower. I look, it was totally gone. Amen. How many ever gotten an attitude before? One, two. I declared outside that spring day, I will not cut my grass all summer long. I pray that it doesn't rain so I don't have to. In Jesus' name. Do you know that summer? I can't take credit for it, but it didn't rain almost the whole summer. My whole grass turned nothing but burnt. It was just totally burnt. My neighbors were out there watering theirs, and they go, you haven't put a stitch of water on there. And I go, yeah, I like it that way. They look at me like, yeah, what's wrong with you? Now, I'm not saying this is right or perfect. I had one little cactus. It grew a thistle. It was the only thing green in the whole yard. And then it grew up, and it grew this purple flower. It was the only thing green in the whole front yard. And every day I walked by the sidewalks, oh, that's nice. And then by the end of summer, even that croaked, all right? It took all summer for the Lord to get my attention and repent. Because I was ticked off. My lawnmower was stolen while I was at church. Oh, you're all perfect in here. Amen? So in the fall, it started to rain and it started to rejuvenate itself. And I asked the neighbor kid, would you come by and cut my grass? And he goes, oh, yeah, I'll cut it. Couple of dollars. Sure, it comes by. All of a sudden, I hear this thing going. It's a lawnmower that's barely running. It's like this thing is like the worst lawnmower ever. It backfires, I kid you not, and sets a portion of that grass on fire. So I'm out there going, dude, your lawnmower's pretty bad. You want to take that? And I'm hosing off the little spot that's burning, amen? Now, eventually, I paid somebody to do it, got it all cut. I repented, got my life right. But there's a process there. Say amen. I mean, sometimes when you're going through the process, you don't listen to anything but the process. Oh, nobody in here. I mean, sometimes it just takes, come on, let's get it together. Was it foolish? Yes. Was it stupid? Yes. Did it need to be cut? Absolutely. Lord, help me. Amen. How many ever done something that look back and go, oh, it could have been better. Oh, nobody in here. You're a perfect church. The truth is that you have to walk it out sometimes. We need to learn to walk out this holiness in our life. In Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. God said, I'm going to ask you to walk this out because it's reasonable in your life. It's the least we can do when it comes to this life change. We want to be pure, then God's called us to be pure. Then what we work out, he says, I beseech you, by the present yourself a living sacrifice. Lord, here I am. One of the most powerful prayers is, Lord, here I am. Work in me. I need you. Amen. How many have sinned after you got saved? More than once? How many are glad that God can still forgive if you ask? Amen. He can ask him, Lord, forgive me. Notice you're presenting yourself. It woe unto us if we don't want to repent. Woe unto us if we just overlook and say, I don't care about it. Every day I walked out and I saw that burnt grass, I knew I should have put some water on it. I knew I should have tended it because I was that neighbor in your neighborhood. Say amen. I was that neighbor that's green, 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 burnt, green, 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 green. I knew when my neighbors walked by, they would go, and they would see that one thistle that was nice green and growing. I knew it. It's not that I needed to read their minds. Some of them would chuckle. Amen? And when I told my one neighbor, yeah, I'm going to leave it that way all summer, she just shook her head like this and turned her back. I can't believe you. You're that neighbor. Amen? And they were so happy when I finally watered it. One neighbor went, yeah. But self-righteousness says, none of you got your lawnmower stolen. Say amen. How many knows we can spin it a million ways? Is God able? Is God able? Maybe I should have prayed, Lord, I need a new lawnmower. Instead of adding self-pity to it, instead of getting to be self-righteous with it, maybe I should have said, maybe that person needs it worse than I do. Lord, bless them with my new lawnmower. Amen. Maybe they get a lot of years out of that. How many knows that's not in us? Oh. Is this being too real? Look, your pastor, he goes through stuff too. Thank God I got victory over that. That was quite a few years ago, but thank God. But I haven't arrived yet either. Amen? How many ever got your car stolen? I've had a couple stolen. I even had a minivan stolen. I go, what thief steals a minivan? Family man. There you go. Bless that family man. I had a minivan that was like, listen, it didn't even run well. I came out, I parked it right here. I remember walking the whole complex going, I parked it right there. Amen. I went up to the manager's office. Hey, do you have to seat my van? You guys tow it? No, we didn't tow it. Amen. About 2 weeks later, I got a call from an insurance company. They found it at Captain Hook's in Detroit. Somebody stripped it, moved it to Hamtramck, and they hauled it there. The place is called Captain Hook's. I kid you not. And while I'm at Captain Hook's, says, all I wanted was my Bible back. Forget the vehicle. So I found my Bible in there. I wish they'd have stole that. They probably could have read it. Anyway, so I'm getting clearing out just what's left. The motor was stripped, the trans, all the airbags. It was just totally stripped. And I look over here, and there are people taking parts off of vehicles. Like right in front of me. I'm like, so I'm on the phone with the insurance company. Yep, it's my van. I got my Bible out. I says, look, it looks like they're stripping cars while I stand here. He goes, yeah, we want to tow it out of there because they're charging us X amount per day. I go, there's not much left. Rear axle and whatnot. I mean, sometimes you just got to deal with it. I mean, sometimes your inconvenience may be there, but it shouldn't define who you are. Amen? At this time, I just said, you know what? I was bummed about my lawnmower. I could have cared less about the van. the Lord's working. How many knows He'll work in us? Everything we go through, there's process of change. We get some victory in areas. Some of you walk through some great valleys, and the Lord has brought you out. Share that experience. People need to hear it. In this world, we need to walk out this holiness. Come on, we need to walk it out. Even when it comes to things, in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, don't touch the unclean thing. That means be separate from the world. It says, therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch the unclean, and I'll receive you. I will be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty. Notice what God said. Listen to me. Come out from among them. Be separate, and I will be your father. I'd rather have him as my father than have all the worldly things that are drawing me away. Notice that God said, listen, you be that person. As a father, he cares for his kids. Would you agree? How many know you got to teach your kids? Just because you give them birth doesn't mean that there's no instruction either. A kid left to himself will be reduced to nothing. But you got to train them up in the way they should go. We're no different. If we think we know everything about the kingdom of God, we don't. We got to grow in it. We got to learn. We got to know who He is. That's the process of change. But the longer you're with the Father, the more you know Him. Amen? And you know what? Then you're able to help others grow in that grace and learn. It says, don't touch the unclean thing. You ever notice in the Old Testament, when God brought victory to them, they were obedient. When they didn't, defeat came. Even over one Babylonian garment. How many think that's such a small little thing? He hid it under his tent, and God brought, hey, nothing's going on here. Got to change that. Till they found out, hey, you stole something that wasn't yours. It's important what we do in secret. Come on, we're all in this together. Is that too serious, or is that just what we need? Come on, don't be separate from the world. Come out from among them. If you'll do, He'll be your father. Notice He calls you sons and daughters of the Almighty. I love to be recognized with that. Amen. To walk this out, you know what we need to do? Watch our associations. Bad company corrupts good morals. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. If we think we can do whatever we want, now that doesn't mean we don't reach people. I'm not saying that. How are you going to be a light if you don't bring the light? But if your intimate communion is with the world, sooner or later you're going to be just like the world. It will entice you to fail. There has to be a standard. You still reach out in love, but you're bringing them to a new place where Christ is. Isn't that true? Sin is always encouraged. And it's always got a trap set to. And the enemy wants to lead you to the trap and ensnare you like a web. Lord, I want to be free from that. Amen? I've shared with you before, I haven't lost one friend in Christianity. Just acquaintances. A friend sticks closer than a brother. Haven't lost one friend. Amen? A brother is born in an adversity. You hang tight with that. Is this good? To walk this out, this is a good one. Psalm 101, verse 3. Set nothing evil before your eyes. There's a lot of evil can come before your eyes with the box at the end of the room. Sometimes you have to manually turn it off. I don't need to see that. Come on. How many knows that's in your power? But if we get in that vegetation state, we can bombard ourselves so much that we can dull our senses. And it's like getting the outside clean, but not the inside clean. We need to be both. Amen? I want both. How many want both? Isn't to know God life? Isn't that where your true joy is? I want to know Him. Are you enjoying this morning? To walk this out, we need to stay in it. Say, stay in it. It's so important to stay in it. Don't get out of it. Stay in it. When you put your hand to the plow, guess what you do? You keep going to the end of the row. Then you turn around and you get that field done. There are a lot of areas that we need to plow over in our life. There's a lot of fallow ground, a lot of hard ground that needs to be turned over. The more you turn it over, you know what? The more it can be start to be smoothed out. Say amen. How many of us that we can be on the fast track? How would you like to plant your whole heart and receive a great harvest? I don't want to just plant a little, Lord, I want a whole harvest. How vast is the kingdom of God? How vast is even the spirit that's within you? It can contain the spirit of Almighty God. I don't believe that we're even living to even a small portion of the potential we can walk in. Me included. There's no condemnation here. I want to walk in the fullness of what he has. Jesus gave us a great description on how you can do it. Amen? Well, Lord, let me get there. Paul said, I haven't arrived yet, but you know, I'm striving. Well, let's strive then. How can somebody's shadow, when Peter walked by, heal somebody? Anybody know? Anybody know? So they stuck him out in the alleyways, in the streets, that by chance, Peter's shadow could overcast them and they could be healed. How many of us, we can walk so much more than what we're walking in? Amen. Then, Lord, I want to walk in that church. We should desire that. Amen? I was reading the other day, there was a gentleman, he was praying, and he wasn't a well-known person. He didn't have names like Finney or Spurgeon. But he was so dedicated to pray over his city that he would just agonize for hours. Lord, touch, Lord, touch, Lord, touch. And then he finally met up with some friends. They said, well, what are you doing praying? He goes, I'm believing God for a touch in my city. How many of us said sometimes when you step out in faith, somebody doesn't like it. Oh, that's nice. Oh, nothing's going to change. And his confession was, you know what? God's going to bring revival to this land. I'm not going to stop praying until God does. How many of us, there's been people that have already went before us that have prayed that God would move? Those prayers will still be answered. We couple with that. Are we that dedicated? Do we want to see God move that much today? I'm being honest. Or do we just want to kind of go along in Christianity and one day we'll be up in glory? Woo! How many want to see God move in the land of the living? We got so much more planned for that God wants. He's not willing that any should perish. Amen? Now, the other day I got some of my hairs trimmed. What's left? Amen? And I've noticed that when they cut it, it's a lot more grayer than it used to be. Is this true? So I get what's left trimmed. And I was there, and this lady's cutting my hair, and she asked me what I did for a living. Oh, that's such a good conversation. Well, let me tell you what I do. Amen? So I began to share with her what I do. I pastor a church. I got great people there. Amen, Mark. And I said, well, what about you? Are you serving the Lord? How many knows the comb comes down? And now it's real. How many knows God will always get it real? No, she said, I haven't been there in a while. I used to go, my grandma used to take me. But it's been a while. Maybe it's time that the Lord's touching your heart. Amen. Amen. Before I left, you know what can I pray for you for? Now there's people waiting to get their hair cut. I understand that. She looked at me and I could see a tear starting to well up in her eyes. She said, you know what, will you pray for my family? I said, I'll pray for your family. They all heard it in the room. I mean, what are you going to be ashamed of or afraid of? I believe she thought about that all day. Wouldn't you? Not because I'm all that, but because the gospel is there. The gospel is powerful. God wants to draw on what you have within you and bring forth for humanity. They need it. They need to know what you know. They need to experience the love that you have. But if we set our hearts on things that are not of the Lord, we're missing it. Or if we don't stay put, listen to me, we're not in the place where we need to be. Is this good? All of us want the benefits of holiness. We do. But we got to walk it out. Temptation is all around. Even when you're totally walking with the Lord, he'll try to trip you up in areas. He'll try to get you caught in a conversation or da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Lord, I want to be pure. Amen? Well, while she's cutting my hair, Lord, open up a door to share. Can you pray, Lord, open the door to share? All I'm looking for is an open door. Amen? And God, then I'll walk through. Witnessing shouldn't be something that you get into as a mode. It's something you are. And you're always looking for an opportunity. That way you don't have to shift in character like, well, now I got a witness. No, you are a witness. Lord, open up that door. God, you're able. God can even steer the conversation. Hallelujah. Can he bring revival to the land? Wouldn't it be great that every grocery store, every checkout, all of a sudden everybody bowed their head and prayed? What if God came down on a company and a whole corporation got saved because the power of God was so real? Can God do it? I believe he's looking for men and women. You know what he does in Scripture? He looks over the whole earth in whom he can put his spirit upon. He's looking for a man or a woman to say, I'm going to stand in the gap. Intercessory prayer is a lost art in the church today. We need to bring it back. We need to be the ones interceding before God. Never take it for granted somebody has prayed for you. Pray for them. Amen? Some of these so-called celebrities that are so anti-God, they're on my prayer list. And my confession is, you know what? I wonder what they're going to speak once they get saved. Hallelujah! Can God do it? He did it for you. If God did it for you, he can do it for others. Then speak over them. Amen? The other day, God brought back some people I went to school with the other day. I'm thinking, man, I haven't thought of their names in X amount of years. Lord, touch them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I may not even have their last names upright, but God, you know who they are. Touch in the name of Jesus. Everyone in here has an opportunity to be holy. Will you choose to walk that way? I can't live it out for you, neither can you live on my faith. But you can walk it out. You can choose. Lord, I'm going to choose. It's a personal thing. Amen? It may be just a small little area you need an adjustment. If the Lord's speaking to that, make that a little adjustment. Amen? And God will meet you. You take this much step, he takes this much. He always doubles, he always triples what you do. I want to be that way. You enjoy this morning? How many want to be holy because he's holy? Then strive for that. Look at today and say, you know what? Today's the day. Lord, I'm going to strive to live for you. I'm going to put on that new man, which is in righteousness and true holiness. Hallelujah. God's good. Amen. Don't do my lawnmower. Don't cop an attitude for 3 months because you're self-righteous. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, we want to be holy because you're holy. Now make it personal. Maybe there's an area that the Lord is dealing with. That's a good thing. Conviction needs to be in God's house. Maybe there's an area God wants you to adjust or maybe turn that off, or you know. Maybe it was like me that I needed an attitude adjustment. Father, change us. Lord, we have no right to walk any way but holy. Lord, we want to be known as your kids, sons and daughters of the Most High. Then Jesus says, you're holy. Lord, that's my confession. I want to be holy, Lord. Now make that your own. In your own heart, that's the only way God's going to change and work it. In your own heart, if that's your desire, God, I want to be holy. Just speak it unto him. Lord, I want to be holy. I want to be like you, Lord Jesus. Forgive me of all my trespasses and sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, I call on your name this morning. Jesus, help me. Help me to walk this out. To discern, Lord, the days we're living in. Lord, even in an ungodly world, to be holy like you. How many have that desire this morning to walk holy before? Let me see your hand this morning. I'm with you too, church. If you would, lift both hands and surrender. And pray this with me. Lord Jesus, everyone in here, Lord Jesus, I surrender to you this morning. Work in me, my attitudes, my actions, to be one, Lord Jesus, like the gospel says. Help me, Lord God, in my weaknesses, to be strong, to walk firm, to stay the course, and to walk your ways. Lord, every failure, I submit to you. And today's a new day. I'm walking out free, strengthened, and encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.